Welcome to the Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this June the 9th on the West Coast, now June the 10th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. We'd also like to welcome those listening around the world, either on bbsradio.com or on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and we're sure you're going to find tonight's show fascinating. Before I bring my guests on, Mr. Ken Adachi and Zuranova star Livingstone, and I remind you we're going to be talking about several different topics. There's not a whole lot that I can say other than to bring your attention to the fact that we are engaged in four wars now. And if you remember the rhetoric prior to the 2008 presidential election, there was talk of, I'm going to pull us out of Afghanistan, I'm going to pull us out of Iraq, and I'm going to give you change you can believe in. Well, do you believe the change yet that you're getting? Do you realize the change that's taking place in the world? The military-industrial complex is flexing its muscles, murdering probably now millions of people, if not yet, the numbers will increase in the very near future. And we have said that this is going to expand around the Middle East. It's obvious what they're doing. It should incense you that this is occurring. And as far as who to address tonight's music to, I just say to Big Brother, you haven't done nothing.
If you really wanna get abused, you have to stop.
Stevie Wonder had it right way back in the 70s. You haven't done nothing. And I don't need to add to that message. He said it all. I'm going to invite again back to Evident Footprints two guests who are prolific writers. They are both metaphysicians and researchers. The intuition of both of these gentlemen is off the charts, not to mention the scientific acumen that they possess. And they also have really good hearts. They're on this show tonight to bring you the truth. We don't ask you to believe what you hear, but use some common sense. And if you've awakened, if that song I just played didn't awaken you, go back to sleep, really. But they'll certainly surprise you with some of the things they have to say. First of all, our first guest, by introduction only, is the editor, webmaster of a popular worldwide renowned website called educate-yourself.org. And our second guest, Zernova Star Livingstone, has his work, his essays, featured on the website of our first guest, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don. Great to be back with you again.
ZS, nice to have you. Are you unmuted this week?
Yes, I'm unmuted.
All right.
Speaking All right. clearly, yes. Not in the distance.
We solved the problem. All right. That was just a little technical glitch. And see, if we put on our thinking caps, we can solve a week-long problem in about 5 seconds, which is what we did before we went on the air. Gentlemen, Ken, I guess we should start with you. You've been doing a lot of work lately, fielding emails and writing some new material. I know you have some things that have you perturbed a little bit, but maybe that's even an understatement. Why don't you share your thoughts with the audience?
Yeah, thank you, Don. There's a few different topics we'll talk about tonight, but I would like to begin with the latest information I posted to my current news page under latest articles. The last 3 days, perhaps, I've been putting up articles that essentially is necessary to do in the interest of defending the reputation of some people who I've been associated with for a long time, and they've recently, in the past few months, come under attack. And if the parties who I'm writing about hadn't established with me that they were doing good work in the interest of aiding humanity, then I wouldn't invest the time to defend them. But because Ted Gundersen and John DeCamp and Dr. A. Truat, Don Nikoloff, and some other individuals have become the victims of a scandalous smear campaign over the past many months. And I don't particularly enjoy the task of calling to task people who I previously held in high regard. But if this individual is the party who is the driving force behind the attack on these other individuals that I hold in high regard, then I have to address that. So that's what I've been doing for the last three or four days or so. I just became privy to the degree of this smear campaign in, let's say, the last week. Prior to this, I only heard some allusions to this here and there by you and a couple other people, but frankly, I hadn't focused on it really hard. When I did start listening to radio interviews, when I was sent some newsletters that hitherto I had not read, I was shocked and alarmed at what I read. So it's necessary to defend people who are, particularly who have done such an important job over decades, to try to help the world understand the truth of who is deceiving us and who's really at the helm of these destructive agendas. So part of this defense that I'm writing about has to do with the something that surprised me. But the party who's making these attacks had done something which one would not expect under the circumstances. But they went to a California courthouse, and they made a series of statements. Not one of them is true. And as a result of making very inflammatory, untrue, dramatic statements in this application for a restraining order, they were issued a temporary restraining order, and a hearing date was set for June 22 for Dr. A. Truat in California, in Laguna Hills, California, in which he has to appear in order to address these allegations that have been made against him. Now, it greatly disturbs me that based on the charges, unproven, unevidenced, merely charges, allegations made by Sherry Kane against Dr. A. Truat, that a judge in Laguna Hills courthouse, a judge named Corey S. Kramen, had issued this temporary restraining order, which became effective on June 2 against Truat. The reason I'm upset is that by issuing a temporary restraining order, which is in effect until the June 22 hearing, the problem is that there are penalties already included with the, quote, temporary restraining order. And those penalties are very serious. It's this. Truat lives in Ogden, Utah, California, Southern California, Laguna Hills is, I'm guessing, 900 miles away, perhaps. I'm not sure. I'll have to check with a map. But it's a substantial distance. The party who made the complaint has an address within a 15-minute drive of that location. But Dr. Truat, living in Ogden, Utah, now has to travel a considerable distance to even go to his courthouse to answer these charges against him. The restraining order requires that an individual who the restraining order is ordered against, Truat, is now compelled to dispose of any firearms which he owns or are in his possessions. Now, I don't know if Truat has any firearms. I don't know. But I do know that every citizen in this country has a Second Amendment right to keep and bear firearms, particularly if you have it in the home. Protection of your property and your home, etc., is one of the main reasons for having a gun. Now, because of this restraining order, issued solely on the unproven, unevidenced allegations of Sherry Kane, now forces this man to dispose of his gun. He has two choices, the temporary restraining order said. A, he could sell them to a licensed gun dealer, or B, he can turn them over to the police. If he doesn't do this, assuming he has a gun or any firearms, if he doesn't do this, he will be in contempt of that restraining order and could be arrested, could be sent to prison, and could be made to pay a fine. So the reason I'm bringing this up is that...
This is someone he hasn't met before, by the way.
I understand. I've said that in my write-up. He's never physically been, you know, in the same space as Sherry Cain. He's never met her in person. He's only communicated with this person via email. And if she hadn't published a number of photos of herself on the internet, I suppose he wouldn't have even known what she looked like. So I put up the restraining order. I put a copy of the restraining order, and I put an explanation of the relevant sections so that people who hear this conversation and read that article can understand the implications and the seriousness of this business of issuing restraining orders without any supportive evidence on the part of the person who's petitioning for the restraining order to be required in order to issue a restraining order, at least a restraining order that includes notices and, well, they're called notices, but it's a built-in court order. It's a penalty that goes along automatically. This whole thing of disposing of firearms. Now, what I mentioned in my write-up is this is a complete abridgment of a very fundamental principle of the U.S. Constitution called due process. And that simply means when a court is going to level a charge against you and some sort of penalty or judgment that goes that goes along with that charge, there's going to be some sort of judgment levied against you. The Constitution says you have a right to be confronted with your accusers in court, and the accuser has an obligation to present the evidence, which is the foundation of their allegations against you, and that you cannot be judged and or even indicted. But in this case, this is a special category of court action that is unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know the original purpose, let's say, or the
it's
the growth,
also a violation of the Second Amendment.
Well, I'm of course, but I can understand why. Not that it's okay, I just understand why the use of restraining orders have grown exponentially in perhaps, what, the last four decades, okay? It's because the feminist movement, which is underwritten by the New World Order anyway, saw to it in the, political posturing began in the late 60s, but about 1973, 74, 75, they passed something called no-fault divorce here in the United States. And as a result of that, one spouse could divorce the other spouse without, let's say, the need to get the agreement of the other party. You didn't have to present a reason to the court that justified divorce. You can just say, I want to get divorced from this party. And if the husband didn't want to get divorced, too bad, you get divorced anyway, or vice versa, but it's usually the guy who's being divorced by the wife. And then the wife starts this process, which again was created in the wake of the no-fault divorce laws, of getting custody and insisting on child support. And that led to a lot of escalating friction between former spouses and moms and dads because of custody of the kids and so forth. So a lot of battles were created as a result, as a fallout of the feminists getting through no-fault divorce. You have to remember that. If the feminists never got through no-fault divorce, there wouldn't be these raging battles over child custody and child support payment and the whole nine yards that goes with that, can of worms. Yeah.
The way those cases usually go, Ken, is they go after the party out of the couple, regardless of who is applying for the divorce. They go after the party. Let's say, for instance, it's the woman who says, I want out of this relationship. And the guy's got a lot of money and he's awarded the kids. They will contrive a scenario to say, well, you know, he's going to beat the kids. He beat me, you know. And, oh, now we can go after the money. You see, they can start to level charges of child abuse.
Charges.
Against, see?
Yes.
And they go after the money. Then they have the house. Then they funnel that money, say, from Cook County, Illinois, to Maricopa County, Arizona, and up to Salt Lake City. These are the things we're exposing. This is some of what's got them all messed up, because the very people who are doing this to us, to some of the journalists and talk show hosts you named, as well as myself, and they're more than journalists. Some are doctors, and Dr. H. Watt's case, he's got multiple disciplines. And they're documented. They're verifiable, you see.
Yes.
Where we don't have that situation. In fact, the story we've been told, when we unravel it for our readers and our listeners, they're going to be very surprised.
Yes, there's much more information that will be forthcoming. And when greater revelations are made, people are going to be quite a gasp at what they find out about the parties we're referring to. But I'll just come back to the notion of restraining orders.
And don't forget, we have ZS waiting in the wings. So.
Yes, I do. So I will finish up with this point. This is a serious matter. This is an absolute unjustified and unconstitutional methodology of muzzling perfectly innocent people who are doing nothing more than exercising the First Amendment right of free speech. And I can't think of a more classic expression of it than in this case with Truat. Here we have a guy who has done nothing wrong. He is not an individual that you can refer to as shady or has any criminal intent, no criminal background. There is no justified reason that, or there is no legitimate reason that an individual like Sherry Kane can go into a courthouse and just make wild, insane, over-the-top accusations about murder, death threats, yada yada, and pull in every major, let's say, big name political story. The Loeffner shooting there of that woman and the judge throws in Jeff. What's the follow there? Forgetting. In Washington, in the scandal.
Well, there was Joe Wilson and Valerie Plame.
Yeah, Valerie Plame. Again, another big high-profile, big political. Let's throw that in the mix. I'm Jeff. Some people suspect he's Johnny Gosch, but I don't believe he is. Jeff, he'll come to me in a minute. Actually, it was Ted Gunderson.
What he mentioned.
Yeah, Ted Gunderson played a very big role in helping Maureen Gosch, the mother of a boy in the 1986 or 87, was kidnapped a 12-year-old boy while on a paper route, and he was taken into this CIA's finders network, and he was greatly traumatized. He was exposed to he was subjected to mind control, satanic rituals, prostitution. A lot of very negative things happened to this individual. And anyway, I can't remember the fellow's last name. He was in the papers during the second half of Bush 2's administration. Just won't come to me off the top of my head. But anyway, in trying to flesh out these charges against Truat, Shiri Kane was throwing in these famous stories as if, and this is the insane part, as if Truat was somehow implicated with this shooting in Arizona with this Loeffner guy. As if Truat was implicated in the Johnny Gosch story or the Valerie Plame story, etc. Just throwing in these sensational, lurid, highly publicized, murder-type intrigue stories to kind of add more meat to this totally contrived charge. And what really bothers me is that this judge actually granted a temporary restraining order based on simply the statements of Shiri Kane.
It has every indication, Ken and ZS, that these people are just following someone else's orders.
Of course, but it doesn't at all minimize the gravity of the unconstitutional conduct of Judge Corey S. Kraman.
Yes.
This is the guy who signed his name to the order, and this is the guy who bears the responsibility for essentially canceling Truat's due process rights under the Constitution. And as you mentioned, secondarily impede his Second Amendment constitutional right to own and bear arms. Because until this thing gets straightened up, assuming it gets canceled on June 22, I mean, I presume that's going to happen because the man's totally innocent. These are fabricated allegations, but I don't know what's actually going to happen on the day. But the point is, in this three-week period from June 2 until June 22, this man's rights have been abridged. And something has to be done about this. People who are in the business of the legal profession need to sit up and take notice. This is an absolute abridgment of constitutional protections known as due process. And we have to address this issue. So I'll stop with that and allow ZS to spend some time.
My question is on the 22nd of June, if A. Truat and his lawyer do show up in the courthouse in California, is it possible the Department of Homeland Security, FBI, the Federal Justice Department could be there with three additional charges?
Absolutely. This was something that's been in the back of my mind from the time this began. Of course, this is a setup. It's done. That's why I use that word in describing my article. Of course it's a setup. Of course Kane and Horowitz aren't doing this on their own. Of course they're being coached. And, of course, there's players behind the scenes who are advising them to go down this route. This is what makes sense for the last 3 or 4 or 5 or perhaps it's 6 months of unremitting, castigation and lambasting of Ted Gundersen, A. Truat, et al. On their radio shows and in their newsletters. It makes no sense that someone would launch into these long-winded, continuous castigation sessions. There's a greater plan in motion here. There's a greater agenda. And that's what seems to me the most logical thing. This is a setup to sandbag Truat, as you say, to get into that courthouse, and FBI, DHS, etc., will just be ready for him right there. That's entirely possible.
The reason this is happening is because they don't want people to hear the truth.
Of course.
That's it.
Because Truat and his radio show and his write-ups hit some real nerves. That guy's one sharp dude. And he's exposing some real heavy stuff. So now in June of 2011, we have a new tool out of the tyrannous bag of tricks to cripple and muzzle law-abiding citizens So they can't reveal the truth to the public about what's really taking place in this country. So, yeah, what you're suggesting, ZS, is completely possible. And I'm hoping my write-up and perhaps our words here tonight, if they get enough airing, will change somebody's mind. Because we might have been, I don't know, of course, we might have successfully or, let's say, put out enough of a warning here that if they follow through with what you're suggesting, ZS, then they might...
If there's three or four charges against them at the same time in different jurisdictions, there could be decades of legal wrangling here.
Of course. Of course, he's being, yeah, it looks like he's being set up to be sandbagged. This is how they do it, to get him there, and to, now he's out of his home state. He's on, I don't know. See, it would be difficult for them to go up there to his home in Utah. What kind of charges are they going to present him with? But here, yeah,
is a good offense on Truott's, if he's actually countersues on all the fabrications here from Utah, would he be protected by Utah, or would they cave?
Somewhere along the line, somebody's going to have to pay attention to what's going on, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah. I think Truott should countersue in order for his own protection.
He's already alluded to that intention. I think he will take legal action, particularly since our two friends have decided to ratchet up the drama by going to this level of brazenness, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
I have the feeling. But, of course, that's a civil matter. A lawsuit is a civil matter.
This is the Hegelian dialectic in action here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people need to realize is – this wouldn't be happening to someone unless they had been putting out the truth. You know, normally the way in the old days, didn't they handle it like, you know, you might be invited to a picnic and, hey, Charlie, you know, you've been telling a lot of people what's going on. You know, you should pipe down a little bit, you know. We're concerned about your wife and your kids.
Mm-hmm.
They would do it that way, you know. Mm-hmm. This is intended to blindside somebody and defame them and libel them and slander them. The way people are able to be manipulated psychologically in this country and really all around the world, it's been done for such a long time, gradually, more gradually. But now they've turned it into legalism, you see. This is a criminal act, organized crime taking over the legal system.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. Why?
Yes.
Because we're pointing out the trillions of dollars that they're embezzling. We're pointing out the millions of lives that are destroyed either through sexual slavery, through impoverishment, through poisoning. My God, they're poisoning the whole planet. Doesn't anybody take offense to that? The regular people out there? You know, so this is what's going on. This is intended to silence those that are telling the truth. They do not want God on this planet, and they don't want the truth. You can't have God and not have the truth. They're literally trying to wipe God off the planet. That's my two cents. Gentlemen, either one of you.
Yes. Go ahead. Well, I just want to add that younger Americans, we take the freedoms we inherit under the Constitution for granted. We assume we will always have them, but we are steadily losing our constitutional liberties because of these manipulators. You know, it began before 9/11, but 9/11, a big, let's say, blow to our constitutional guarantees was created with the so-called Patriot Act, which is more appropriately should be called the Traitors Act, because that's what it is. And younger people don't know that the way other totalitarian societies in the past, Soviet Union is one example, the China, since the takeover of the communists in 1949 is another example. The former East Germany, another example. The former, like Bulgaria and so forth, when they were under Soviet domination, you didn't have free speech because anybody who wrote something critical, let's say published it in a newspaper, he was taken away. He was, if you were in the Soviet Union, you probably would wind up in a psychiatric, quote, hospital, and you're loaded up with narcotics, and you're kept in a zombie state. You might have gotten electroshock treatment to fry your brain. In East Germany, it probably would have been worse than that. If you were in some other highly repressive country, let's say Cambodia during Pol Pot or something, well, you'd just be shot. You'd just be killed. So what we're seeing is conduct, which is traditionally not acceptable in America. We're seeing conduct on all fronts. We're seeing the police behavior, their ethical conduct, their sense of morality has been eroded in recent decades from where it was, let's say, 30 or 40 years ago.
Do you think this is any different from what occurred during the rise of the Nazi Party or the Chinese Communist Party or during the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia? Is it any different?
Well, it's following a similar pattern, but it's different in intensity, of course. And I had mentioned in other write-ups, we sort of broached this area, is that I am not in favor of, quote, revolution now. That is the stupidest thing we can do. And I've criticized some people on my website who I otherwise hold in hard, high regard. I remember 5 or 6 or 8 months ago, I criticized Brother Nathaniel for essentially encouraging the idea of a military overthrow of the bad guys in the government. There is no such thing as a good military overthrow. It doesn't work that way. Anytime you have a revolutionary tinderbox ignited, the people lose big time. It doesn't matter what century you look at. The same pattern follows anytime you, quote, have a revolution. So yes, that's the last thing I want. Well, I want to keep the Constitution. I want to keep – what I want to do is I want to get the rats out of office. It's not the paperwork that's the problem. It's the rats mishandling it.
Yeah, the revolution is a word that implies that the people are involved, and they are involved, but it's really an annihilation. Mm-hmm. You see, they use that word to make people think that the revolution is what changes things. No, there's an annihilation that occurs. There's never been a revolution where the regular, everyday, ordinary, common people were slaughtered. It's never been the case. Mm-hmm. Who conducts the military action in a revolution? Mm-hmm. You know, other than giving people bottles and rocks to throw. You know, mm-hmm. And it was always a matter of confiscating all of the weapons that people owned. That maybe they didn't use, they didn't have for protection. They used it maybe for hunting, for example, you know, to have a shotgun or a rifle. Or just target shooting, right? They're not going around starting wars. It's those that start the wars. It's those that profit from tragedy that are behind all this. And it upsets them to see the truth out there. They have to silence it. Well, you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. If I have to come back, mm-hmm. I'll come back with a vengeance.
Yeah. So just to perhaps wrap this point, we'll move on to another area. I'm bringing this subject up to alert people who hear this talk or read the material on my website, and hopefully it will stimulate conversations and or write-ups among other people. This is a serious abridgment of our constitutional right to be free of court-ordered coercions without the opportunity of due process. And that's what's happened here. That's why I'm so upset about this issue and why it needs to be ventilated and people need to talk about it. And therefore, those who are signing these restraining orders need to hear from the Republic, need to hear from the public so that some restraint is put in place. And we just don't sign restraining orders based solely on allegations which have no evidence, no proof, no substantiation, just mere, because obviously some people are just willing to say anything, no matter how egregious, no matter how serious and flagrantly untrue they are, they're willing to do it. And that's what we're encountering here.
Ken, because, let me give you some legal wisdom, okay? And this is very short. Even Judge Judy wouldn't sign a temporary restraining order without getting both sides of the story. Mm-hmm. She wouldn't dare do that on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
There's a very strong likelihood that nothing even occurred in court, that these documents were just created. Okay? We have no proof of that. Mm-hmm. You see? Mm-hmm. But that someone has become a puppet of the system, it appears. That's the issue, you see. There's more than one person that's become a puppet of the system in this dark topic.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. And, you know, we all know that we take that risk. But why do we do it, despite the accusations of us, you know, the ridiculous accusations that we are with intelligence agencies? It's crazy.
Yeah, I won't address that tonight. You know, we'll perhaps do that later in writing. But the issue of signing a temporary restraining order based solely on the allegations of one party, when it carries a coercive judgment with it. Mm-hmm. If it was just, oh, you can't email her or you can't see her, of course he never has seen her, that wouldn't be as much of a travesty. But when it comes with this baggage of you have to get rid of your firearms, this is a serious matter. And this needs to be understood by the American public, and pressure needs to be brought to bear on those who are signing these orders, because they're certainly acting outside of the Constitution. And the Constitution is the law of the land. So I'll stop with that on the restraining order topic.
GS, anything you want to add to what Ken just said?
Okay. Looking right at the what's posted on Educate Yourself, and looking at point one was I was hurt physically, emotionally, and two, others specify evidence, the Judge McCarthy role murder, and then it goes on to Gabriel Giffords, and then on to Wilson and Plam. It's like a child, actually, a child who's asked, why did you do that? It gives one the child will give one excuse, a lie, but then realizing it's a lie, will give another excuse, which is also a lie. Then looking in the parent's eyes, recognizing that it's a lie, gives another excuse, it's a lie. So the whole presentation of the restraining order is a self-witnessed lie. Just in logic of how it is written or presented in the piece of paper here.
Yeah, it's all over the place, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's intended to sound genuine because these topics were in the media, okay? But let's look at it outside the box. Do you really think the judge is making this decision based on the evidence that the police report has in it?
You know? No, police report to start with. Just an allegation.
Yeah, it's an allegation. You see, there wasn't an investigation. You know, it's to where anybody can say anything they want. I mean, they're saying that about me. They're saying that about Ted Gunderson and others. So,
Sherry Kane's a child. Logic, or her level of logic, should be called childlike.
Well, that's to presume that she's the one that concocted those statements.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not.
But it's quite evident that it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, that it's like saying, well, we can do whatever we want. We can say whatever we want, and nobody can do anything about it. You know, that's the psychology that it's intended to create. Now, it's up to people if they're going to stand for that.
Yeah.
And there are ways to bring the truth out. Trust me on that.
Oh, good.
Kent will back me up. And it, you know, here's what's interesting. You know, part of the truth that we bring out on this show, and ZS, you're the perfect guest for this topic, is the reality that there were other beings from other realms on this planet who have systematically been taking everything over. That's where this whole idea of New World Order came from.
From the demons.
Yeah. Demons and off-planet aliens. Let's call it what it is. Okay? The aliens can be driven by demons, or they can be in allegiance with demons. It doesn't matter. They have enough secret societies to open up a Baskin Robbins. Okay. 31 different flavors.
A different flavor every month.
That's the reality, really. But people don't stop long enough to think about what they're seeing. They react to the minute details. They don't see the, you know, they don't see, it's an overused statement, but they don't see the forest. They're looking at that little tree that suddenly sprouted. And they're fearful of that little tree, you see? And they've got this big, huge forest standing in front of them. And all they have to do is look at it, and they begin to see what's really going on. Now, a person cannot know that and be complacent or apathetic or lethargic or brain dead. You can't be awake and be asleep at the same time, okay? So the message that we deliver is intended to awaken people, to bring them the truth. As much as they can handle, it's up to them. We're not asking for belief. That's not what truth is. It doesn't matter if you believe in truth or not. It's still the truth. Your pursuit should be to know the truth, not to accept lies as the truth, not to accept illusions or total psychotic insanity. Psychotic or pathological statements represented as if there's been some justice done, you know, to protect the endangered humanity, when it's the system itself and what's being done to you that is the crime. That is the real crime.
Yeah.
It's a crime being perpetrated upon the whole planet, and it doesn't just happen here. It's happened in other places. Every pathway we follow along all this research that you're doing, ZS, and Ken is doing, and I'm doing, and Dr. H. Uwat, and I can think of maybe 10 or 20 other people scattered around the planet. Everything leads to this reality that this planet has been invaded. That's the big secret they don't want out. They have a big show planned to introduce us to that on a mass scale, don't they?
Right. Yeah, I don't think America wants to go the way of Russia. If you've ever read Alexander Solzhenitsyn's Gulag Archipelago, it would, the hell that the Russians went through under Stalin's rule, and the whole 79 years, whatever it was, of communist rule, and it's a it's a very, very important book, but it's very, very little read. It is so gut-wrenching to read the lies that Stalin used to hold the people in check and to arrest people and send them to Siberia or to the death. And Solzhenitsyn goes just dissects the truth right down to the core and shows the paranoia of Stalin and the leaders at the top of the Bolshevik Revolution. And so in the background, there are Stalins who are pushing this type of agenda in the United States right now, who want to subjugate Americans to that hell of incarceration. And already there's 2 million Americans in jail. One-third of them are there for essentially 1 ounce of marijuana or less, which is overthrow or is overkill on a legal act.
Are they in prison because they inhaled?
Or because of possessed or have, or is in the vehicle with them, maybe planted by some police officer.
You would think Bill Clinton would have been put in prison with his disclosure of that.
Yes. just by admitting it, you can go to jail. So in Canada here, we have about 60,000 in jail, a population of 30 million. 300 million in the States, 2 million in jail. The incarceration rate is starting to border into the hell regions because it is unjust.
Yes. Now, talking, you know, I heard, I think it was Truot actually that talked about this. Peter Moon came out with a new book. I don't know if either of you gentlemen are familiar with Transylvanian Sunrise.
No.
Now, he's written Transylvanian Moonrise. And he goes into areas that are absolutely on target with some of the research I've been doing. It's synchronistic. Only he's looking at archaeology and physical evidence, where I'm following the roots of comparing the history to what I can piece together. Let's say not following what history says, but looking for anomalies in the historical accounts, where I see that something just doesn't make sense or it's obvious that it's a lie. I do research in that area. And it so happens that while I'm doing that research, someone else comes out and reveals another dimension of the same research I'm doing. And we're seeing the same corroboration to what I've said on the show tonight so far, that this goes back thousands of years, easily hundreds of years, but it goes back thousands of years. And I've been saying that for a number of years on this show, only 4 years, but that in that 4 years' time, it would produce the ire that it's produced. I would have to be telling the truth, wouldn't you think? And I'll tell you that Peter Moon is looking at the satanic side of this, or the reptilian side of this, you see. But those aren't the only beings that are here. We say reptilians and greys a lot on this show. And Nordics. There are other species that are here. We've also mentioned the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon. And we'll keep mentioning that. And they are real. Just as we are going to prove that there are people lying, and we'll show who's behind all the fraud that's going on, like we usually do, the truth will reveal itself. It can stand on its own two legs. It doesn't need to be respun by those being exposed by that truth. Gentlemen, either one of you, Ken?
Don, if I could, I would just like to mention two different items, okay? They're different from what we've been talking about so far, but I would like to just briefly mention two things because they're both important. And while they're in my mind, I wanted to make them part of this conversation. The first thing is a very short item, but I'll just say it briefly. We don't have to expound on it long at all. But I just heard on the news, the radio, which is how I normally hear news. You know, I haven't been getting broadcast television since they went digital, so I normally don't see the news on TV anymore. So I hear it on the radio. And there was a very short item on NPR, National Propaganda Radio, which mentioned that a new system is being set up, and I forget where, it might have been Chicago or some major city, at the airport, in which to speed people through the security check, that folks can get an eye scanned, an iris scanned, in place of having to go through all the other security stuff. So they were saying two things in this report, saying they can embed a chip into your passport and that or into some sort of ID card, and plus an eye scan. Well, by golly, you can save a lot of time at the airport. Now, the reason I'm bringing it up is that when I heard it, I had that aha, a reaction immediately. We know that the way the Illuminati, the New World Order gang, installs their various control agendas is through a simple Machiavellian technique called problem, reaction, solution. And the problem, of course, was created with the terrorist on 9/11, okay? And then the reaction are the Patriot Act, and what flows out of the Patriot Act is enhanced airport security. So naturally, we have to have a new Transportation Security Administration to handle this new enhanced security requirements, because we don't want any terrorists to be flying around with us or blowing up the plane and other fantasies and myths.
Why don't they just outlaw box cutters?
Yes. So, exactly. So what they do now is they intentionally ratchet up the aggravation and the intrusion and the irritation with the conduct of TSA. So what started as kind of, you know, generals, oh, put your arms out, and they're waving a magnetic thing in front of you, the fine metal, et cetera. Gradually they go to, well, you got to take your shoes and your belt off, and et cetera. And because, you know, the shoe bomber, another mind control setup doofus, they create the pretext for these additional burdens upon us. So now they intentionally make the, you know, the either get an X-ray scan here and radiate yourself, or subject yourself to, you know, intrusive groping of your body in order to get on an airplane. Done intentionally. They know it's going to upset the public. That's why they're doing it. Why? Because they want to present you with the solution, which is the iris scan, which is the chip in the card or in the passport, etc. And we can, and of course they know, well, let's just apply these pressure tactics for 3 or 4 years, build up a real head of steam of anger, frustration, yelling people, YouTube videos, people getting bent out of shape because of excessive goon-like conduct of morons who are called TSA employees, walking all over people's rights, walking all over the Constitution. Of course, this is why they bring on high school dropout morons to do the job. They want them to irritate people. Why? To create enough political steam, as it were, so people will say, okay, you mean if I get the iris scan and I get the chip? Yes. Okay, give it to me, because I'm just getting tired of waiting 2 hours and being problem, reaction, solution. That's why I wanted to mention this. That's the purpose of all the TSA groping and aggravation and agita. It was to create this solution.
And does anyone actually know what, this is my concern, what goes on in this iris scan? You know, are you being zapped with a frequency to take out part of your brain or a certain.
It's mapping your retina. It's making
well, that's
your,
what, that's the cover story.
That's what they're telling us, of course.
Yeah,
of course. Yes, what you're hinting at is that we might be getting a lot more than just mapping of the retina. Exactly. That's
the retina
very
is
good
the
point,
brain.
Don.
Well,
retina
yes.
is part of the brain.
Yes, right. Of course.
Of course, the windows are the direct open tunnel into the brain. You're absolutely right, Don. There might be much more to it because we know how they deceive us on everything. They deceive us about what's really going on with vaccines. Oh, yeah, they want to protect us from
this. None of what supports this is based on any truth, you see. So why should there be any truth now?
Of course, absolutely. So I just want to point it out so people understand what the game is, you know, because I'm not going to get an iris scan. I'm not going to submit. I'm just not going to go along with these programs. Now, of course, I guess I won't be flying, but it's okay. I'm just not going to allow myself to be abused this way.
Yes.
So we just do what we can within our capacity. Now, here's another entirely different area beyond what we just talked about. I was going to bring it up on past shows, but because of other pressing matters, I hadn't. But I'm going to at least begin a topic of something that's so remarkable that I have to get it out. Somebody sent me a book about 7 months ago, which took me about 2 months to begin reading it because I was just too busy. And CS will tell you how long it takes me to finally wake up to important information that's being sent to me. But that's the way it goes. You don't know something's really important until you look at it carefully. Well, anyway, I sat on this book for a couple of months. I started to read it. And the information in it is really important, which is why I want to at least introduce the subject. I'll tell you the name of the book first. So people can write it down. If they want, they can do a Google search and purchase the book. It's the name of the book is Bioenergetic Basics. Bioenergetic Basics. It's written by a woman named Janice Bailey, B-A-I-L-E-Y. And if you just do a Google search under that name, you'll come to her website and you'll find out how you can get the book. The book is really important. It's a book about essentially what would generically be called magnetic therapy. But she studied under a Mexican doctor by the name of Isaac Goiz Duran. And this fellow developed something that he initially learned from a NASA doctor or got an inkling about the work from a NASA doctor. And through experimentation with magnets, he discovered that all disease, without exception, create polarizing pathways in the body. Now, I'll have to try to make this simple because I know we only have a couple minutes left to the show, so I'll abbreviate the explanation.
Yeah, and I have to play another song. So
you have to play another song. So I'll try to get this out in just a few minutes. All disease conditions create polarizing, zones of blockage. Let's put it that way. These are my own words, but I'm just trying to explain it. If you were to apply the right magnetic polarity to these zones of blockage, you can depolarize this disease function. In the process of depolarization, you essentially pull the rug out from under the disease process. Now, all magnets, all permanent magnets, have one side is called the North Pole, the other side is called the South Pole, okay? If the disease process creates a polarizing blockage, one end of the polarization is of a South Pole polarity. You might use a plus sign to express that. And the other side of the disease blockage zone, produces a North Pole polarity, and you might use a minus sign for that. If I take two permanent magnets and I would apply one, let's say I applied the North Pole to the polarized zone of the disease that's exhibiting North Pole properties, two like magnetic poles repel each other. And if I took a South Pole magnet and applied it to the South Pole polarization blockage caused by the disease, those two magnet fields would repel each other. In the process of repelling, I can force these polarized zones into a depolarized state.
Mm-hmm.
I can force them back into a normal channel of energy flow that a person in a state of health is normally experiencing. Now, that's a short and simple way to explain it. How it is achieved, and this is the reason I'm bringing it up tonight, is you achieve this depolarization of disease processes using two permanent magnets. And any permanent magnet of a Gauss strength of 1,000 or more will do the job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were to go into Radio Shack, at least you used to be able to go into Radio Shack, they used to sell a type of magnet that kind of looked like a domino. It's shaped. It's made out of what's called
zircon encrusted tweezer.
No. It's not. There's the word here. Boy, I don't know why I can't. This is a very common magnet. They're made ferrite magnets. Okay, they're called ferrite magnets.
Okay,
because they're made with sort of a powderized iron substance that is molded into a shape. It could be a round shape. It could be a disc shape, coin shape. It could be squares, or it could be oblong, like a domino. And they apply a magnetic field to it in the production process, and it holds a reasonably good charge. So we call them domino magnets. The reason I bring it up is that you used to be able to find them in most Radio Shack stores. You can go to a hobby store and find these type of magnets, and people use them to hold things to the refrigerator and so forth.
Even hardware stores have them.
Hardware stores.
Yeah.
If it's at least that size, when you stick them together, it takes a little bit of effort to pull them apart. And the particular size, I'm guessing, might be in the range of, I don't know, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 Gauss. Anything over 1,000 Gauss would work. By applying one magnet in a known location in the body, and it's explained in this book where those locations are, and applying a second magnet at another known location, it tells you where to apply it, you can depolarize disease processes. And this therapy works so incredibly fast and well that people with particularly viral conditions recover very quickly. Now, the reason I brought it up is I got an email from a guy in Zambia who sent me a photo of a man who was emaciated from AIDS and asked me my advice on what can we do. So I was going to give him some info, but I'm going to tell him about this therapy because these points on the body, which this Dr. Isaac Goiz-Duran talks about, he coined the name for them, biomagnetic pairs. And he published a book in Spanish. He's a Mexican doctor, in which I believe the name of the book is Biomagnetic Pairs. Of course, it's in Spanish, so maybe Un Par Biomática or something like that. But the book that Janice Bailey wrote, though, tells the whole story in English, and obviously it's a lot easier for us to get the story from her book. So I just wanted to broach the topic tonight because this story in this book is amazing. This man, Dr. Duran, Goiz-Duran, cured a patient of AIDS. This is how they discovered these magnetic pairs. And he applied this therapy just once for about 30 minutes, put two magnets on a man's body with severe developed AIDS. The man came back 3 weeks later, ready for this. He was free of AIDS. His blood count had completely reversed to seronegative. He lost all the symptoms. It's an amazing story. So I had to get this out because I've been postponing talking about this for too long.
Now, in the event that somebody can't acquire the magnets or don't have the money to buy them, they could simply go down to the equator and lie down, couldn't they?
Well, I'll tell you an interesting story since you mentioned location. The speed of the therapy is relative to the equator. For instance, the magnets just have to be applied for 2 minutes if you're located on the equator, if you live in a country that's on the equator. Mm-hmm. But as you go more northerly in latitude, the amount of therapy time is increased. So interesting you should mention the equator story.
I was just sensing that, you know. Plus, Amazing. It sounded like something funny to say.
Yes. Yes.
Gentlemen, I'm going to give you both a chance. Yes, you have been so polite and so quiet in the background, but I want to let you bring something to the table after we listen to a little music. This is another song for our wonderful friends that like to call themselves Big Brother.
You say that you're watching me on the telly, seeing me go nowhere. Your name is Big Brother. You say that you're tired of me protesting, children dying every day. But I can't wait to see your face inside my door. Oh. Your name is Big Brother. You say that you got me all in your mobile, writing it down every day. Your name is I'll see
your
you.
Name is I'll see you.
I'll change if you vote me in as a president of your soul. I live in the ghetto. You just come to visit me round election time. Hi. I live in the ghetto, but someday I will move on my feet to the other side. My name is Secluded. We live in a house the size of a matchbox. Roaches live with us walk to wall. You've killed all our leaders. I don't even have to do nothing to you. You cause your own country to fall.
Stevie Wonder, many years ago, he had it all figured out. That was from his talking book, Big Brother. Well, ZS, you've been very patient in the background, and I'm sure that song got you riled up. And your closing comments or anything that you want to include in tonight's show.
Okay, I'll just finish on the magnetic therapy. There's actually been a lot of experimentation over the last 100 years or so with magnets. And if you can't find them in the hardware, you can all pull your electric motors apart and take the aluminum, nickel, cobalt sintered magnets off the casing of your electric motor and find out which is north, which side is north, which side is south, and use them. And I just heard a few months ago that the rare earth magnets are becoming rare as China is using them for various projects itself and is internalized its production for China's use. Finding rare earth magnets or neodymium magnets is getting harder. So, but we're surrounded by magnets, so we should be able to scavenge them from somewhere.
They're around somewhere, yeah.
Yeah.
You can get a few off the TV.
Oh, yeah.
what do you think the Chinese are using them for? Is that?
I think that they're experimenting with over-unity, something that Jim Murray would be generators,
mm-hmm.
very specialized generators, because you get in the many thousands of ghosts off those small magnets up close to them.
Yeah. They can pretty much make a magnet have the charge that it wants or they want it to have. You know, size is important in retaining higher amounts of Gauss, but when you start getting into different types of materials than what are traditionally used, you can get more energy in smaller devices, which is why we're power handling capability. You know, mm-hmm. we're seeing that in electronics as well. Things that used to be electrical, things that are in your computer, just a small laptop computer used to have to be the size of a school building in normal analog electronics, tubes and resistors and capacitors. And when we got into solid-state electronics and then moved beyond that actually very rapidly, I think, you know, getting into integrated circuits and then embedding lots of different pathways in chips. I mean, it's gotten crazy what it's evolved into. Mm-hmm. And it's primarily being used for control. That's the main thing. In terms of putting it in the hands of the consumer, these are distractions for the most part. Now, there are people that find use out of having an iPod or, you know, you remember when it used to be the Walkman tape player, the Walkman CD, and you could listen to music. So you got used to the idea of carrying something around with you. It was a convenience. But then it evolved into something else. You know, a cell phone is a matter of convenience. But now you don't see people without it. I mean, they're driving cars with it. They're in church with it. They're eating their lunch during their lunch break and got one constantly, you know, on their body. So we're exposed to a lot of electromagnetic radiation and a lot of microwave radiation. That's really destroying people's health, and they don't realize it until it's too late. And who's going to be accountable for this, you see? This is no different from what the petroleum industry is doing to the people or what the pharmaceutical companies are doing to people and the medical community in general. These are the truths that they don't want us telling people. And the aliens don't use any of this stuff, you know. That's a funny thing. It's been created to control us. See, they don't want us saying that either. So go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off, but
you're so eloquent.
I had to comment.
waxing eloquent. but anyways, magnetic therapy. There's a lot of research on magnets that has I just lost the thought there.
Well, you're going to talk about magnets.
Yeah. Well, going back to Walter Russell, he had a totally different explanation of magnetism as a continuous vortex, where the North Pole is the open end of the vortex and the South Pole is the closed end. And that repulsion and attraction is, you have to look at it from a vortexing point of view, is quite radical. And you then, in seeing the vortex, you can see the health effect which the North and South Pole would have on the body. So I'm just wondering if the Mexican doctor had read Walter Russell and saw what was inside the bar magnet and what is around it,
mm-hmm.
Creating the tube torus, they call it, and in what's happening in the tube torus.
If anyone doubts what the validity and what CS is saying, if you take two magnets and you get them to repel, where they push apart as you're trying to bring them together end to end, you'll feel that vortex before they actually touch.
Yes.
Won't
you? And some strong magnets, you can't even get the metal to the metal. It's so strong. You're not strong enough to clamp them together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's counteracting vortexes. If you have, if you see it from that point of view, then you're just pushing against nature itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just use that as an example because you can feel it when you reverse that, they go together, and you can't sense the vortex at all in that way.
Yes,
unless you're sensitive enough to feel it. Say you have two 6-inch Alnico magnets that are charged with 1500 Gauss. That's a powerful field there, okay? Mm-hmm. And if you separate those magnets actually less than 2 feet, you create a powerful vortex that now affects structures.
Right.
I've done some research in acoustics along those lines. And you can cause a normal audio speaker to project 360-degree sound because of what the vortex does. It's very interesting. Go ahead. Right.
And also the like Nikanen magnets for pain therapy, a lot of people who worked in those the factories putting electric motors together, especially with the large generators and alternators and holding them and placing them in the around the rotor, or mm-hmm. in the casing around the rotor, their hands would go numb. It would shut down the nerve response in the hands. And people would have to go on coffee breaks when that happened because they just didn't have any control or weren't able to do that work. Maybe done by robots now, but they'd have to go for coffee break for 10, 15 minutes to come back and do another half an hour work. Hands go numb, and they go for another coffee break. And so the Nikanen magnets and other therapeutic magnets, which have been around for 30 years now, they know that strong magnetic fields cut off the nerve response and the pain response.
Mm-hmm. So line up for your vaccinations, then line up for your eye scans, and I'm sure everything will be all right. Oh, my God. Well, ZS, I appreciate your input to the show. Ken, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still here, Don.
Well, you had quite a bit to say. Any closing thoughts in summation before we call it a night?
Well, thank you. It probably took a bit of time tonight. More than I had planned to, but I wanted to at least touch on these areas. The need to be concerned about this transgression on our constitutional rights by the idea of these temporary restraining orders. It could be a growing problem that we should become aware of. But also that there's always new discoveries, or let's say we're becoming aware of new information that will help us achieve greater health and be able to overcome these many intentional disease obstacles that are being thrown in our path. For I've said it before, but I'll repeat it again. For every obstacle, you know, for every reaction, there's an equal opposite reaction. For reaction, there's an equal opposite reaction. And same when we're being bombarded with so many schemes and Machiavellian goals to harm us or to reduce world population or to cause disease, war, etc. The more these devil worshippers.
Can you? We're losing your audio a little bit. If you could speak up.
The more that we are bombarded by the New World Order gang with their diabolical plans, the more help will be laid in your path or be placed in your lap. So that's something we need to bear in mind and never lose sight of that. The more dramatic the attempts to create false flag operations or sabotage operations like we had in Japan, or the attempts that have been attempted along the new Madrid fault, but you'll notice have not worked out for the bad guys. It's because we're getting an equal pushback, if you will, from the light side. And my mentioning this story about this simple magnetic technique, if you learn how to do it right, it could have marvelous results. And how expensive is that to solve just about any disease condition with a pair of magnets? This is amazing information, and we'll become privy to more and more instances like this, because we sort of need the assistance now, and it's coming to us. So got to bear this in mind. There's nothing to be forlorn about or to be depressed about, because we're going through, if you will, the heaviest artillery they got to throw at us. I mean, Japan was the sabotage of Japan was intended to be much worse than it actually worked mm-hmm. out to be. They planned on that being a big deal, and they've also been planning on major stuff. You know, they saw the artificially created tornado like the one in Joplin. I mean, but sure, they're getting away with that, but apparently that's about as far as it's going. None of their nukes have gone off that they intended to go off. So the New World Order is not winning the ball game. They're losing, and we got to remember that. It just seems you don't see the benefits that are, let's say, being, you know, set up for us now. But you will see them. You will see them. As the months and the years roll by here, the New World Order is going south. It's collapsing.
Yes.
So we have to keep this in mind.
Well, gentlemen, I hate to say this, but we are out of time. We have to call it a night. Maybe we can be thinking about putting some magnets around Washington and seeing what disease we can get rid of there, for starters. I think that would be a good starting point. I appreciate you both being on Evident Footprints, and I want to let our listening audience know that you'll be back with us in the very near future. In fact, I'm going to give you the date right now, this coming Tuesday, June 14th. So I look forward to your next appearance on Evident Footprints.
Okay, thanks, Don.
Thank you.
All right, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And my two guests tonight, Ken Adachi and Zuranova Star Livingstone. Visit Ken's website at educate-yourself.org. And be sure to read up on all the many essays posted there by Z.S. Livingstone. I'd like to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints. Over at bbsradio.com, we had Seth Hendrick on the sound tonight. I'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And, of course, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest is the gentleman we discussed a little bit tonight, scientist, inventor Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.